I speak for MOPW as the National Vice President and SA Branch Convener. And I have to say that we strongly condemn the actions of both Hamas and the Israeli government in this war. But we don't condemn the Israeli or Palestinian civilians. We do call for an immediate, complete and permanent ceasefire and the provision of all necessary humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza. We don't advocate any particular political solution between Palestine and Israel, but our message is that there cannot be peace unless it's based on justice and security for both Palestinians and Israelis. We do strongly condemn the disproportionate civilian harm caused by Israeli policies and actions towards Palestinians over a long period, and the protection of civilians and the healthcare and other essential infrastructure as set out in international humanitarian law is of fundamental importance and is a particular focus of our advocacy. We're very, very concerned about the number of children that have been killed in this war. At present, it's about 13,000 children have been killed. And up to last Sunday, Israel had killed over 32,000 people in Gaza since October the 7th, with tens of thousands more missing. And about 70% of these dead are women and children. So this is something that really does concern us. Australia has legal obligations as a party to the Arms Trade Treaty, which has specific obligations related to upholding international human rights law and the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of the Crime of Genocide. This convention prohibits not only genocide, but also complicity with it. So, on Sunday, just last Sunday the 18th, the United Nations Children's Fund reported that 13,000 children had been killed in Gaza, adding that many children affected by malnutrition in Gaza don't even have the energy to cry. This was stated by UNICEF Executive Director Catherine Russell in an interview on CBS News on Sunday. She also said that one in three children under the age of two is suffering from acute malnutrition. Anne Skelton, chair of the United Nations Children's Rights Committee, has presented a bleak picture of the present and future for Gaza's children. She said, "Today no child in Gaza is free from fear, pain and hunger. They will be considered lucky if they can even survive this war and have the chance to grow up," she said on the 11th of February. She said also, "All children living in the Gaza Strip have lost their childhood. They are traumatised and will live forever with a permanent impact on their mental health."
That's even hard to listen to.
It is really, really difficult. Oxfam reported that the deliberate starvation of the population of Gaza has only worsened since the ruling by the International Court of Justice, calling on Israel to stop killing Palestinians and allow food into Gaza. In a statement, Volker Turk, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights, said that the extent of Israel's continued restrictions on the entry of aid into Gaza, together with the manner in which it continues to conduct hostilities, may amount to the use of starvation as a method of war, which is a war crime. Turk's comments come as the rate of starvation and malnutrition surges throughout Gaza's imprisoned population of over 2 million. According to Turk, quote, "The situation of hunger, starvation and famine is a result of Israel's extensive restrictions on the entry and distribution of humanitarian aid and commercial goods, displacement of most of the population, as well as the destruction of crucial civilian infrastructure. A separate report published Tuesday, 19th of March, by the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, the official global body designating starvation, found that, quote, famine is imminent, end of quote, with a major acceleration of deaths and malnutrition. Before Israel's assault on Gaza, less than 1% of children in Gaza under 5 were acutely malnourished, but that figure has surged to between 12.4% and 16.5%. The report found that every single person in the Gaza Strip lives with some level of food insecurity. The report projected that while the entirety of the Gaza Strip is currently in the emergency phase of food insecurity, the entirety of northern Gaza will be in famine within a couple of months. So it's a really, really dire situation.
It is.
In Australia, the Medical Association for Prevention of War, which I represent, has joined with multiple other local and international humanitarian voices in urging enough is enough, stating that this war must end. The Washington Post recently reported that the US Congress has approved and delivered more than 100 separate military sales to Israel since October the 7th, amounting to thousands of precision-guided munitions, small-diameter bombs, bunker busters, small arms and other lethal aids, end of quote. Australia took over 6 weeks to finally, on December the 12th, 2023, join widespread calls for an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza. Our government refused to support South Africans' action in bringing the matter of genocide to the International Court of Justice. Within a day of the court's ruling on 26th of January that Israel must take immediate and effective measures to enable the provision of urgently needed basic services for the people of Gaza, Australia suspended payments to the very organisation that was most needed to do this, UNRWA, a decision which has only just been reversed after 7 weeks. Dr. Sue Wareham, our national president of MAPW, has said, "The deprivation of health care for 2 million people, tens of thousands of them injured, countless more suffering infectious illnesses from overcrowding and lack of sanitation, in addition to all the usual medical needs of a population of that size, and now starvation as well, is the most grave and shocking criminal assault on the right to health care in living memory." In a report dated March 20th on MAPW website, MAPW stated that, unlike the US, what Australia does may not be decisive for the children of Gaza, but the power of a good example always matters. Belgium, Italy and Spain have already suspended arms transfers to Israel, and in the Netherlands there was a court ruling for the cessation of the export of F-35 fighter jet parts to Israel. For us to turn away in despair and helplessness in the face of all of this is not an option. We must continue to demand decisions on the part of our own government that place the needs of innocent people, especially children, at the absolute centre of decision making. And there must be accountability in whatever form it takes, not only for the perpetrators of the violence in Gaza, but also for those who failed to do whatever possible to stop it. On a final note, I would like to say peace, security and justice are all interwoven together. We have to look to a future to fight for peace, security and justice. If we see cruelty, we have to act on it. It's imperative for our mental health to act on it. Justice can and must be pursued and sought for peace to prevail. And this requires ongoing investment and commitment at individual, national and international levels. Individuals and communities more generally can learn from their mistakes and histories, acting to correct issues and ongoing problems. In recognition of this, we can create a future with hope, with acts of justice and peace and healing. All of these open possibilities and lead towards a better world. Mm.